of landscaping. Our roads are looking good. I-10 and I-110 showing no slowdowns. If you do see something slowing you down on the roads, make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, 850-262-6111. Again, traffic update brought to you by Executive Landscaping, celebrating 40 years in business on the Gulf Coast. Call them today for your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Now let's get a quick look at our weather from Alan Strum.
The weather tonight will be cloudy, and there's actually still a chance a shower or a thunderstorm will move through the area. Might even see a little bit of fog develop here and there. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. Much warmer during the late night and morning hours than what we saw earlier in the week. Saturday and Sunday, here we go. All right, Saturday, we've got a chance for rain. It's about 30%. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds. And Sunday's weather, likely dry. High temps will run in the upper 70s to low 80s. Enjoy the weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
Thanks, Alan. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together. Now let's head over to Bobby Rossi for our top three stories.
We've wrapped up the Florida legislative session, and so we're going to get a Florida legislative update from Alex Andrade coming up here at 5:16, right after traffic and weather together on the fives. But right now, top three stories. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is stepping down. She said it's time to transition now that the pandemic era is over. E. Jean Carroll's civil rape trial against rape case against Donald Trump. Both sides have rested their cases in the civil rape trial, but Trump could still testify. The judge has given him until Sunday to decide. And the World Health Organization has officially declared an end to the COVID pandemic. Let's go over to Joe Ford in the newsroom. Joe, what do we got going on here in local news today?
Bobby, we had a story that impacted us locally, but it was really a nationwide impact. There was a social media threat going around that really didn't name any school or any district, but certainly Escambia County Schools got wind of it, reached out to Pensacola Police and Escambia Sheriff's Office to look into it, see if there was anything credible to it. They did determine there was nothing credible, but you know, just within the last few months here now, we've had a couple of instances where threats have either been called in or just a social media thing going around. We had one, I believe it was last month at Gulf Breeze High School, obviously the swatting incident in Pensacola Catholic a few years ago, but it obviously makes you nervous anytime you see something like that. FHP putting out the word that they need your help in tracking down a car involved in a hit-and-run crash that happened yesterday. Left a man seriously hurt. This happened on North Pace Boulevard at West Blunt Street at about 4:30. They're looking for an older green Mitsubishi Galant with front-end damage. If you have any info, you're asked to contact FHP. 5:15 right now, traffic and weather together with Gracie.
No major slowdowns to report this Friday afternoon with I-10 and I-110 looking good. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line. That number is 850-262-6111. Now let's get a quick look at our weather from WEAR.
Lots of clouds in the skies tonight, and there's still a chance a shower or a storm moves through the area. Warm and humid all night. Lows in the upper 60s. A bit of fog may develop as well. Rain chance Saturday, 30%. It will likely be dry on Sunday. Temperature highs over the weekend will be in the upper 70s to low 80s. I hope you enjoy it. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
Thanks, Alan. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together.
All right, so the Florida legislative session just wrapped up, and we've been doing the Florida legislative update every day right around this time, and so with that we've been sharing just, hey, this is what's going on, but let's get a first person perspective of what has happened. On the News Radio 92.3 hotline right now is Representative Alex Andrade. Alex, thanks for joining us here on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So what is your overall takeaway? Just a summary of how you think the legislative session went this time.
Oh, well, I think it's the first time since I've been elected that we got out on time. So that was a high point for me. But no, I think we've done so much this session. We had special sessions during committee weeks. We've passed significant legislation on any topic you can think of, from tort reform to property insurance. We passed the historic budget. You know, the budget's significant for not just for education, but for healthcare. And then, you know, we tacked on $6 additional billion even for infrastructure like roads. I mean, it's just there. It's tough to even begin to summarize this session because of how well it ran.
So one of the things when we're looking at all these things, obviously you're passing statewide bills. What are some things that you think will benefit or affect those of us here in the Pensacola area?
Well, so I chaired the Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee, right? So I controlled that budget. You know, one of the things I was really proud to do was to say, you know, $6 million from the contract to build the bridge with Skanska, the Pensacola Bay Bridge, should come back to the community just from the contract amount. So that doesn't affect the litigation, obviously. But, you know, they owe at least $6 million in liquidated damages. That should go back to repairing, you know, infrastructure, improving infrastructure here back home. But I think one main one is HB1, school choice. You know, we have universal school choice now here in Florida. Every family can make that decision for themselves. And at the same time, we made sure that not a single school district will get less money next year. So there can be no argument that it's somehow hurting our school districts. On Baker Acts and our mental health, you know, service concerns that we had last year, like August of last year, Senator Broxton worked heavily to make sure that we made sure that centralized receiving facilities and our mental health and the behavioral health services were fully funded so that new programs could get started here back home. So, I mean, that's just a small snippet of it. I could talk for days about it.
Speaking with Representative Alex Andrade, and Alex, hearing from Governor Ron DeSantis today, of course, all the attention now on what lies next for him. And he said, well, I got to review the budget. And I would imagine that being a representative is that this is kind of the time, at least in the past, where maybe you get a little nervous about, you know, things that you've worked hard for your district. We're looking at the proposed budget items. You know, there's several line items here. And, you know, last year, Governor DeSantis slashed a whole bunch of stuff. He said that he's not going to be doing that as much. At least that's the indication that we get. So your level of confidence in that all the stuff that the local delegation has been working on in this budget will be spared this year.
So I've been burned before, obviously. I was elected in 18 the same time DeSantis was, and that first session, half of the money that I'd secured got vetoed. I was having dinner with him on Sunday, and I said, Governor, please, like, if the words Pensacola or Scambia are anywhere near a project, please just say no. just don't veto it, please, this year. I think this is a great budget time right now, and the state our revenues are extremely high, and it's really tough to look at what was funded and justify vetoing it. I mean, shoot, we even got $100,000 for bathrooms on Palafox Street for Palafox Market, and $750,000 for bathrooms at Veterans Memorial Park. You know, those are projects that I think would benefit the community, and, you know, crossing our fingers that they won't get vetoed.
So with some of those things that you just brought up, actually, I wanted to bring up the school choice thing. I was hearing – I've heard two different things, and I've read a couple of things, and I know there were some changes at the last minute that got tweaked. So is this truly like universal healthcare? Anybody who wants to put their kid in private school or homeschool or something like that, are they going to be able to get a voucher? Or are there exceptions of some sort?
There's no exceptions. There's no need base. There's no qualifying requirement. If a private school accepts the state vouchers, a family will receive that voucher. I believe it's $7,500 in value. But to make up for that, obviously, we increased the base student allocation for each child, each student that a school district is responsible for by $500, which is over 100% higher than any increase we've ever had in a single year for the base student allocation. So, you know, it was an opportunity to reform our Florida education funding program. And at the same time, make sure that, you know, money's actually following the child and parents are empowered to make the decisions that are best for their families.
Because I have heard from some teachers that they're concerned that this is going to take money away from the school districts who are already struggling trying to fund things. But you think that there's been a you think there's been a replacement, that this is not going to hurt the school district?
No. The great news is that Escambia and Santa Rosa school districts will get more money next year than they will this year, based on this budget. No, there's no school district. Every single school superintendent in Florida signed off on the reforms to our FEFP because they're all going to get more money under this plan.
Talking to Alex Andrade, state representative here, giving us an update on the legislative session that just wrapped up officially today. So one other thing pertaining to the school districts is there was a bill pertaining to charter schools that was going to allow some of the tax dollars that goes to the school districts to go to charter schools so that they can maintain buildings. Right now, we're actually dealing with the Warrenton Middle School as a potential situation where that might be needed. But once again, I'm getting the text, I'm getting the emails of people concerned that this is going to pull money away from the school districts that they desperately need.
So the first thing that you got to remember is charter schools are public schools. They are not private schools. They're run by the school district. They're just operated by either a nonprofit or a for-profit vendor. The bill that was passed is just making sure that charter schools are recognized like public schools, and they get the same funding, and it's based on a per capita basis to make sure that their facilities can be maintained. If the building that a charter school operates out of is privately owned, it's not publicly owned. There's provisions in the bill to say that any investment made in that facility reverts back to the state. Obviously, if a charter school is renting, a building, there's property tax being paid on that building, which is not the same thing as a public school building, right? Public schools don't pay property taxes. So you have taxes going into the system from a charter school that in a lot of school districts, they weren't getting back because a lot of school districts are not friendly to charter schools, and they were just cutting them out of that capital outlay funding. So just making sure that per capita, based on, the number of students at this facility, they're receiving that money is another way we were just making sure that the dollar was following the child.
Representative Alex Andrade, our guest here on News Radio 92.3. Alex, of all the things and all the announcements that Governor DeSantis made over this legislative session about stuff that he wanted to get passed, the bigger controversy is, having to do with the LGBTQ and the critical race theory. And I know that one of your bills that you introduced specifically dealt with critical race theory as it relates to colleges and universities. So moving forward, now that that's passed, now that the legislative session is over, what does that look like moving forward?
So I wouldn't say it's critical race theory. It was a response to the fact that diversity, equity, and inclusion administrators on college campuses are the number one prohibitors, the number one barrier to free speech on college campuses today. The UF DEI Administration Department actually said they could not have a public debate about Black Lives Matter because anyone who opposes it would be engaging in hate speech. So they advocated not to even have an open debate about whether or not whether or not people should support Black Lives Matter. So we just made a decision not to fund administrative positions based on diversity, equity, and inclusion. But on the academic side, the bill that I ran stopped outside the classroom door. It was not a direct instruction on prohibiting or supporting actual majors or minors at the end of the day. But it was a directive to the Board of Governors, the folks that do administer universities, to go review majors and minors that are being offered at our state institutions and make sure they align with our statutory and constitutional missions. Ultimately, that bill was designed to make sure that we all had a level of comfort and certainty that the programs being offered at our state universities were identifiable and transferable, right? You shouldn't have to start from ground zero, start from zero again if you transfer from USF to UCF. Those credits should be identifiable and transferable if they're credits for the same or similar courses. DEI, is no longer, of any benefit. That doesn't mean diversity is not of benefit. Our statutes that the Board of Governors has to make sure universities align with highlight how important diversity is. But when you say diversity, equity, inclusion, what you're saying is we want to regulate outcome, and we're advocating, for discrimination in the name of equity. And that's just, we're getting it backwards at that point. It's the antithesis of what the United States is based off of, what we're founded on. And it goes against every individualism argument you can make. So, yeah, we stopped funding DEI, and, you know, I'm excited to see the governor sign that bill.
Last question.
Representative Alex Andrade.
Last question, Alex. You said you had dinner with the governor on Sunday. If he has confided in you regarding his future plans and you would like to break that news, the floor is yours.
No, it was me and some house members in my class. You know, as we're going into our fourth term, we got together with him at the governor's mansion, and he just wanted to, you know, thank us for our, the work we were doing this year. No, we actually, it was small talk. We talked about which restaurant in Tallahassee had the best fried chicken between like Raising Cane's and Zaxby's and like Slim Chickens. You know, we didn't talk about the future at all, but it was a good time to kind of relax and kind of look back on the session that we'd all have.
Representative Alex Andrade, thanks for joining us here on News Radio 92.3. We just got a full update from him on the legislative session. We're running a little bit late for traffic and weather on the fives, but let's go ahead and hit that with Gracie Wolf.
Thank you.
Roadways are looking good right now with I-10 and I-110 causing no slowdowns. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Lots of clouds in the skies tonight, and there's still a chance a shower or a storm moves through the area. Warm and humid all night. Lows in the upper 60s. A bit of fog may develop as well. Rain chance Saturday, 30%. It will likely be dry on Sunday. Temperature highs over the weekend will be in the upper 70s to low 80s. Hope you enjoy it. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
Thanks, Alan. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest.
News Radio 92.3, it's the News Hour on Pensacola right now. Joe Ford, Bobby Rossi, and Gracie Wolf. We got you covered here for another half hour. All of the headlines going on nationally, locally, statewide, sports, pop culture. We still got to talk about the coronation of King Charles. All that coming up and much more in the next half hour. Your Money Now comes up right after the Fox News break. It's presented to you by AlphaStar Wealth Management. Remember, it's not about what you make, it's about what you get to keep. AlphaStar Wealth Management, your prosperity is their priority. It's the News Hour on Pensacola right now. Happy Friday. It's 5:39 here. Gracie, Bobby, and I'm Joe Ford telling you what's going on today. We'll start with our top three stories. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is stepping down. E. Jean Carroll and Donald Trump rest their cases in the civil rape trial, but Trump could still testify. Also, the World Health Organization officially declared an end to the COVID pandemic today. Statewide, Gracie, we had the legislative update, just had Alex Andrade on before the 5:30 news break. Some other interesting stories, though, happening around the state of Florida today.
That's right. Big thing's going to be the legislative session ending, but we had some crazy stories coming out of Clearwater and Jacksonville. So in Clearwater, two paramedics were fired after they declared a man dead that was still breathing. The fire chief, Scott Elder, says that two men didn't follow protocol when they pulled the sheets over a 66-year-old man and canceled other units. They issued and confirmed death signal 9 seconds after they arrived on the scene, and a deputy noticed that the man's labor was he was still breathing and called paramedics from another scene. And in Jacksonville, the city of Jacksonville rejects a transgender lifeguard for exposing bare breasts in front of children. The individual, a female who identifies as a male, hadn't gone through transition surgery, but took off their top, during a portion of the lifeguarding training. And it was around 20 other trainees, as well as several dozen children and parents sharing the pool at the time. Let's get over to Bobby Rossi. Some crazy things happening also in national news.
And I saw that. When I first saw that story in Jacksonville, I thought it was just a woman. I didn't realize it was a transgender, somebody who thinks of themselves as a male. And I had multiple people sending that to me yesterday, including Joe. Joe sent it to me after the show as well. He wasn't. I had a lot of people. I was like, okay, this is a big deal. And then I started reading it, and I realized what was going on with that story. So kind of bizarre, absolutely. Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama says the military is having their own Bud Light moment. His comments centered around the Navy hiring non-binary officer to be its drag queen digital ambassador to help recruitment efforts. Yeah, we just want to recruit a bunch of non-binary drag queens to our military. This is going to be fantastic. Tommy Tuberville says our new national obsession with sexuality, race, and gender is focused on self rather than purpose, ability, or service. And then unemployment in April is down to 3.4%. It's tied for the lowest rate since 1969. Professional and business services led with 43,000 new jobs. Finance and government saw 23,000 new jobs in each of their areas as well. For sports, what do we got going on in sports, Joe? I know we had one game already wrapped up.
Yeah, so we had the Marlins lost to my Chicago Cubs today, 4-1. On TV, if you have Apple TV Plus, they've got a game that just started. The Cincinnati Reds are hosting the Chicago White Sox, and the Guardians take on the Twins at 6:10. The Braves are taking on the Baltimore Orioles. That starts in about 40 minutes. And just underway, the Tampa Bay Rays are hosting the New York Yankees. Big game in the NBA, doubleheader tonight. The Celtics and the 76ers are tied at 1. They're now in Philadelphia. Also, the Nuggets are up 2-0 on their series against the Suns, and they play in Phoenix tonight at 9, both of those games on ESPN. One of my favorite events to watch, it takes 2 minutes. Once you know the post time, you can just tune right in. The 149th Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. 5:57 is when they will post. Forte, Tappet Trice, and Angel of Empire are your favorites. Of course, this is kind of overshadowed by four horses who mysteriously died early this week. The trainer of one of those two horses, Safi Jones, has been suspended indefinitely. Busy weekend, Gracie, for you tomorrow. The scones are in the oven, I take it, getting warmed up.
Oh, yeah. A lot of prep today for the big coronation day that is tomorrow in Britain. So that's right. King Charles III is going to have his coronation tomorrow. And it's been a lot of preparation and a lot of preparation the last couple of weeks for this huge celebration. So today, after years of tension, Prince Harry did land in the UK, and he is going to be attending his father's coronation. But his wife, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, is not. She'll be home in California. This is going to be the first royal ceremony in 70 years, as well as King Charles. It might be this is going to kind of make Bobby sick, but this is going to be a scaled back coronation, but it's going to set the cost to the UK of $125 million. So yeah, but another pop culture news,
puppets. $1.25 million for a puppet
just
show.
To do something that we know has already been in place. In how old he's been king now for how long? Like 4 months?
At least all of 2023.
Yeah,
all of 2023. You're right. Yeah. Holy cow. That's crazy. All right. The latest in from the CDC, Rochelle Walensky will resign in June. You just heard that from the top three stories. She didn't provide a specific reason for her departure, but noted in a letter that is, as the U.S. is transitioning out of the emergency from the COVID-19 response, then she's going to transition out as well. Her last day will be June 30th. And the FDA, by the way, about COVID, says to not use. So if you got any of these stockpiled, throw them away. Don't use the SD Biosensor Pilot COVID-19 at-home test. That's the SD Biosensor Pilot COVID-19 at-home test. Do not use those due to bacteria concerns. So, you know, there's that. Let's go ahead and get traffic and weather together on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
This traffic update is brought to you by Frontier Motors. With I-10 and I-110 showing no major slowdowns, we are looking good. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. And this traffic update is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. And Frontier Motors is located on Beverly Parkway. Let's get a quick update on our weather from WEAR.
The weather tonight will be cloudy, and there's actually still a chance a shower or a thunderstorm will move through the area. Might even see a little bit of fog develop here and there. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. Much warmer during the late night and morning hours than what we saw earlier in the week. Saturday and Sunday, here we go. All right, Saturday, we've got a chance for rain. It's about 30%. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds. And Sunday's weather, likely dry. High temps will run in the upper 70s to low 80s. Enjoy the weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News Forecast.
Thanks, Alan. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together. Let's get back to Bobby Rossi.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring this one up here before we get back into some other local news. The NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, says that the temperature of the ocean surface is at record-breaking levels. It's 0.2 degrees higher than the previous record set back in 2016. Now, that's important because usually higher ocean temperatures mean more hurricanes. It is predicted that we'll have a slower hurricane season this year, though, than what we've had in recent years. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Let's get some local news update from Joe Ford over in the newsroom. Joe, I guess we had a threat on some schools or something going on today.
Yeah, so we did. The threat was going around social media, and this is not specific to any school district because this was kind of been circulating nationwide, really. But, of course, anything like that that shows up here and is spread locally, you kind of got to look into it. So that's what the city of Pensacola police did. That's what the Escambia Sheriff's Office did, of course, the Escambia School District did. They determined the threat was unfounded, you know, everybody moved on. But, never like to hear about that going on. Senator Broxson says that he is requesting an audit of the city of Milton and utilities. This is all tied to the new wastewater treatment facility. There's been a big section of residents who have been against this from the very start. He says he's got about 2,000 signatures relating to the increased cost associated with this facility. And so he is requesting from the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee an audit of the city's operations and finances. Says he's honor bound to represent these citizens in addressing this issue and the spirit of transparency. Gracie, I know that, for some feel good stuff, pretty fascinating and good story out of New Orleans today involving a student who was kind of a whiz kid and a pretty impressive resume that he's got.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He is a smart cookie at only 16 years old. Out of New Orleans, the 16-year-old whiz kid, this is Dennis Barnes. He has over $100 million in scholarships and has offers from 188 colleges and universities. And he announced that he's made a decision. He's going to attend Cornell University and study computer sciences and software development. He is graduating 2 years early from the International High School out of New Orleans. So very, very smart. I'm sure he'll go very far. And in just other pop culture news, Bobby's already seen it. So he has a He's contributed to this, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 made $17.5 million just in Thursday night previews, and this is going to be the best franchise start. So Marvel movie is expected to make $110 to $120 million this weekend, and it easily tops the $11.2 million that the first movie made back in 2014, and it is about $500,000 up from the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie that came out in 2017 on its opening day.
Yeah, and I'll give you more of my thoughts about that, about the movie, coming up next hour, about this time next hour. And I'll just tell you this, short, but it's worth it. If you're a Marvel fan and you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, this is like, yes, you're going to want to see this.
Seeing it Tuesday.
What's that?
I'm seeing it Tuesday. Yep.
Already got it planned. I tried to buy my tickets like Monday. I wanted to go to an early show last night. No, they were all sold out. I had to go to a late show in order to be able to watch it. All right, let's get a quick break. We come back here. We've got some more local, state, national headlines for you. I've got to let you know a little bit about the Florida legislative update as well. That's all coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3. Cola right now, right here on News Radio 92.3. If you'd like to weigh in, text 850-437-1620. So a little bit earlier, we had a Florida legislative update from Representative Alex Andrade, but a couple other things to let you know about. So the session has ended after the House and Senate passed a $117 billion budget, but now the governor's going to go through the budget and he can line item veto a bunch of it like he has done in the past. In fact, that's when people ask what's next for him, hoping that he was going to say, I'm running for governor or running for president. Instead, he said, reviewing the state budget. So, okay, there you go. The Florida, in the meantime, also some of the last things that happened, DeSantis signed a bill that retroactively voids Disney's power grab that they had when it was ending the Reedy Creek district and was going to the new district and the new board. He signed a bill that would do that. Also, Florida passed a bill outlawing doctors from cutting off healthy body parts of children, pertaining to that transgender stuff. Finally, Senate Democrats lament a very tough session, but they claim some bipartisan victories, such as the measures on affordable housing and a tax break on diapers. Let's go ahead and get traffic and weather together on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
Nothing major to slow you down this Friday afternoon with I-10 and I-110 looking good. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-2626-111. And if you're thinking about selling your house, don't waste another day. Contact Christina Leavenworth and the Leavenworth team today. That's ChristinaLeavenworth.LeavenRinkyRealty.com. Let's get a quick look at our WEAR weather update.
The weather tonight will be cloudy, and there's actually still a chance a shower or thunderstorm will move through the area. Might even see a little bit of fog develop here and there. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. Much warmer during the late night and morning hours than what we saw earlier in the week. Saturday and Sunday, here we go. All right, Saturday, we've got a chance for rain. It's about 30%. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds. And Sunday's weather, likely dry. High temps will run in the upper 70s to low 80s. Enjoy the weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News Forecast.
Thanks, Alan. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic and weather together. Joe, there's been a lot of things happening in the national headlines, including the New York chokehold death.
Yeah, a New York grand jury could have the case next week as investigators are continuing to look into what happened. I don't know if either of you have seen the video. I watched it last night. The video shows Jordan Neely, a black man, being held in a chokehold by a white man along with others who were trying to subdue him. The white man, a former Marine, told investigators he was not trying to kill Neely, merely trying to hold him back until officers could arrive. As witnesses say, Neely was acting out on the subway, creating a sense of fear there. Really bizarre one, Bobby, regarding the Navy. Doctors and dentists who were looking forward to retirement say that they're being told that they owe three more years of service because of the Navy's mishap. A record-keeping error involves about 65 Navy Reserve doctors and dentists who had between 3 to 4 years of service erased, and their retirement credits were calculated incorrectly. And anonymous dentist telling NBC News, quote, "They're trying anything possible to retain us, even if it is trying to strong-hand us. Imagine being so close to retirement. I would imagine some of them probably already setting up private practices, and the Navy is saying, you got three more years to go, and it's our fault, but there's nothing you can do about it." Really bizarre.
Yeah, that would be very that'd be hard to swallow. Is the best way I could put that one. It'd be a hard one to swallow. But, oh boy. I mean, it's also different in the military than it is in the private sector, too, though. So there's that aspect of it as well. Score update here for you. Earlier today, the Miami Marlins lost to the Cubs 4-1. Right now, Tampa Bay Rays are beating the Yankees 1-0 in the top of the second inning. And on Apple TV Plus, it's top of the second right now. White Sox and the Reds is still scoreless. Coming up tonight, of course, 6:30 on ESPN, you've got the Boston Celtics against the 76ers, followed by the Suns against the Denver Nuggets. NHL hockey playoffs will be on TNT at 7 o'clock for the New Jersey Red Devils against the Carolina Hurricanes. And, of course, tomorrow, Kentucky Derby. So that is what I heard you say this earlier, Joe, that you like the Kentucky Derby. I enjoy the Kentucky Derby as well. I'm not big into horse racing, but for the Kentucky Derby and the other big ones, I do like to watch those races.
For sure, the Kentucky Derby.
I just find it to be very exciting.
I'm not watching like all 4 hours of coverage. I'm tuning in like 15 minutes before. I'm in on the Derby and the Preakness. Race. If the horses won those two races, I'm in for the Belmont. But yeah, that's
how I am too. Because then I want to see the Triple Crown. Right. But if they didn't win the two races, I'm like, yeah. Grace, are you into the Kentucky Derby at all? You watch the Kentucky Derby?
No, but I love mint juleps. So
okay, all right. So
I get on that.
Like the alcohol celebration part of the experience and the big hats. So.